Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it's about that time. You are locked into WKAR's current sports. On what is a Thursday, October 17th, 2019. Thank you so much for listening. You may be watching courtesy of Facebook.com/WKAR News. And if so, you probably noticed, for those who do tune in on the regular on our Facebook page, I have been battling these allergies left and right, and I don't know what it is, but this studio is very cold. It's been very cold this week in the studio. So I've been rocking my my hoodie along with my headphones over the hoodie, just trying to stay warm. But it's that time of the year, man. The weather starts changing, and you got to make sure you wear the proper attire or that weather will nip you and you will get sick. So health as well, folks. Dress accordingly around this time of the year. But happy October to you all. Again, it's mid-October, October 17th. And on this day, just a few years ago, 4 years ago now? Can you believe that? 4 years ago today, the famous, he has trouble with the snap. Remember that moment? That moment was 4 years ago today. Hard to believe that it's already been 4 years. So we're going to have some fun with that moment and just share some memories of where we were, what we were doing. I'll tell you the story again of where I was witnessing that moment. I was at the game covering it as a reporter. And I'll just kind of take you through the emotions that I went through covering that moment. Pretty funny. Some funny layers to that story. And I want to hear from you guys. I mean, where were you? What were you doing when Jalen watched Jackson? He was able to grab the football after Michigan had trouble with the snap. Taking it all the way to the house. Breaking his hip. Oh, the drama. And oh, how sweet that was for Michigan State fans everywhere. Ah, the good old days. That's got to feel good looking back. Especially in relation to how this year's Michigan State football season is gone. Makes you feel good when you think back to memories like that, right? The good D'Antonio years. All right, so we'll flash back to that here on this Throwback Thursday. And seeing as though it is Throwback Thursday, where we look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history, we will have a few other Throwback Thursday moments for you guys. So when it comes to that high of Jalen Watts Jackson and MSU football, there is another low when it comes to this year's team. Another player has decided to put his name in the transfer portal and leave the MSU football program. I'll tell you who the latest player is. That makes what, number five now, right? Yeah, number five, the fifth player to put his name in the transfer portal this season for Michigan State football. And then I also want to talk a little boxing. I want to acknowledge the self-proclaimed greatest woman of all time, Clarissa Shields. Born and bred in Flint, Michigan. She has broken numerous records, already made a ton of history. Unfortunately, her last fight against Ivana Habazin was canceled. due to a sucker punch to the jaw of Hobbs's trainer, Bashir Ali. But some positive news for Shields today, as she has been named Sportswoman of the Year. I also do have an update when it comes to the legal proceedings in the whole sucker punch to Ivana Hobbs's trainer. I'll give you an update on that. And I got some sad news coming from the boxing world as well. I'll bring that story to you later on this hour, too. So, a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Again, you can watch the live stream there. Comment below the live stream there. You can also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. And I do want to acknowledge as well, you know, yesterday was an interesting segment B here on WKAR's Current Sports, as I got the chance to chat and invite live here on our airwaves Marshall Hollingsworth, who is a midfielder for the Lansing Ignite soccer team, professional soccer team. Lansing Ignite finishing out its first season, and Lansing Ignite finishing out its last season. Because according to Marshall Hollingsworth, and again, if you missed this interview, it is actually the second most clicked story on our website since it was made live to you all after we got off the air yesterday. Many of you have listened to that interview. Many of you have reached out to me with your thoughts on that interview. And Marshall Hollingsworth was just honest. You know, he peeled back the curtain and let you all know exactly what happened earlier this week during a Monday morning meeting. Phil Friend of the Lansing State Journal also had a write-up of this. He talked to Marshall yesterday, and that piece has been published on the front page of today's Lansing State Journal sports page. But Hollingsworth told you about the Monday morning meeting with Nick Greaser, Lansing Ignite president Nick Greaser, general manager and vice president Jeremy Sampson, as well as head coach Nate Miller. They were also in the room as Nick Greaser delivered the news to the team that this will indeed be the first and last season for Lansing Ignite. Pretty disappointing, because this was such a big campaign. The community, you all rallied behind this. You saw billboards all across the Lansing area. Like, I remember I was going to a local chicken joint, and I walk in and I see Lansing Ignite flyer sitting there. Going to my local gym, and I see Lansing Ignite schedule pamphlets sitting on the table where you check in. This was a big campaign. Not to mention the partnership, the apparel sponsorship with Moneyball Sportswear and Desmond Ferguson. I mean, this was a big campaign, and this team had a lot of success this season as well. A pretty good run in the playoffs. Nate Miller did a fantastic job, a lot of talent. But in the end, it was simply not enough to save this franchise. And it's disheartening. It's sad. You don't want to see an endeavor like this, especially one in which so much money is pumped into, so much support is pumped into. You don't want to see something like this fail. And for me, knowing Jeremy Sampson personally, you know, having Nate Miller on my show multiple times, I can only imagine what's going through their respective minds. And Marshall brought up an interesting point on yesterday's show, how many people have uprooted their families and moved here to the Lansing area to work for Lansing Ignite. And then this happens. So, you know, I want to hear from the community out there. I promised you guys that I would open up the phone lines today, that I would read a few of your comments, but I really want to hear from you. Please call in. If you got the time, call in and voice your thoughts on Lansing Ignite being done after one season. Is it fair? Why do you think this failed? If we have any season ticket holders out there that purchased season tickets for Lansing Ignite. I would love to hear from you and get your thoughts on this. Because for those that did attend, you guys were diehards. You know, Marshall brought up the assembly line, which is the official fan base for Lansing Ignite, and how many of you showed up and showed out each and every single game. And to have something like this happens, you know, it really is just very disheartening. So I want to hear from the public today. Again, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And again, if you missed that interview with Marshall, it was a very emotional one. You know, Marshall even detailed how at one point, after Nick Griester gets done delivering the bad news, Marshall was the player that stood up and kind of went at Nick and the organization and said, it's not fair. You know, so many people have sacrificed for this franchise. What do these people do now? And he said that he said some words that can't be said on the radio. So, and also I do want to give a big shout out to Marshall Hollingsworth, because he has been the vocal presence, the vocal player presence, who has not been afraid to speak his mind and stand up for what he believes was wrong. He's standing up and saying, this was wrong. And I'm not afraid to go to the media, not afraid to hop on Current Sports or to talk to reporters at the LSJ and let the truth be known, because fans and supporters in this community deserve to know. And that takes guts. I talked with Marshall Hollingsworth yesterday after I got off the air, and he said, Al, I just want the truth to be out there. So I don't know, but I'm sure not everybody, the higher-ups of Lansing Ignite, I don't know how they view Marshall being as candid as he has been this week. But at the end of the day, this is a young man standing up and being unafraid to speak his truth. So, all right. Let's keep it moving. Alec Rios behind the glass. Alec, let's keep it pushing with our Current Sports quick hit headliners. Let's start here. Wide receiver Cam Chambers becomes the fifth Spartan to enter his name into the NCAA transfer portal. In an announcement made a couple of hours ago, Chambers, a redshirt junior, has played sparingly in two games this season against Western Michigan and Northwestern. He will be moving on as a grad transfer. The Sicklerville, New Jersey product caught 24 passes for 330 yards. In his 26 career appearances at Michigan State, Chambers was a big recruiting win for the Spartans coming out of Timber Creek, New Jersey High, a four-star prospect ranked among the top 50 wideouts and top 250 overall players in the 2016 cycle. He signed with Michigan State over offers from Ohio State, Florida, Michigan, Alabama, Notre Dame, and others. So this is now the fifth player that has decided to say, I don't want to be here at Michigan State anymore. I am going to test the waters of the transfer portal. Does your worry heighten now when it comes to this program and the state of this program right now? What does this latest transfer portal news say? The fifth Spartan that has decided to put his name in the portal ring. What say you? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I'll have my thoughts on that in just a moment. Today marks the fourth anniversary of the play that will happily be in the memories of Spartan fans and one that will live in infamy. If you are on the other side of the rivalry, on this day, yep, he had trouble with the snap. Yeah, what a crazy event to witness, folks. Michigan punter Blake O'Neal fumbled the ball to Jalen Watch Jackson. That led to one of the most unbelievable endings in college football history. The Spartans defeated the Michigan Wolverines in a miracle 27-23 final to continue that undefeated record at 7-0, while the Wolverines fell to 5-2 at the time. What a moment it was. We'll have more thoughts on that. I want to know where you were, what you were doing, what was going through your mind when that moment happened. All right? Also want to note that Connor Cook has been drafted second overall. Was he? So, Alec, he was the second overall pick in this year's XFL?
By the Houston Roughnecks.
Hold on. What's the name? Say that name one more time.
The Houston Roughnecks. They selected him with the number two skill position pick in the inaugural draft.
The Houston Roughnecks. I love that name. I dig that name a lot. The names in XFL are pretty funny. And Connor Cook, second overall.
Surprised me. It surprised everyone, honestly.
Wow. I didn't know he was second overall. So Connor Cook will be playing in the XFL. Wish him well there. Wish him well there. Yeah, he becomes Michigan State's highest drafted quarterback. Not when it comes to the NFL, but you get what I'm saying here. Highest drafted quarterback since Earl Morrell on Tuesday when the Houston Roughnecks selected him with the number two overall skill position pick in the inaugural draft of the XFL. So in the XFL's format, each of the eight teams were assigned quarterbacks, and the true draft is divided into five phases. One is skill players, quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends. Two is offensive linemen. Three is defensive front seven. Four is defensive backs. Five is open draft, remaining players. Phases 1, 2, 3, and four, and are 10 rounds each, while five last 30 rounds as teams finalize their 71-man rosters. A bit confusing, if you ask me, but that is awesome stuff. Looking forward to seeing just how good Connor Cook performs in the XFL. All right, the Detroit Pistons' final game of preseason. Blake, thank goodness, I'm ready for the regular season. Starving for it. The Pistons came out of the Spectrum Center with the dub. 116-110, your final over the Charlotte Hornets. Despite almost giving up a huge lead in the fourth quarter, Derrick Rose, he was out along with Luke Kennard. But that didn't stop the offensive tempo of Detroit from finding a rhythm. Markieff Morris, Andre Drummond, both had 17 points. Langston Galloway had 18, despite only going 5-for-15 from the field. All of his makes, were threes, proving how important three-point line is in today's NBA. Also want to note that also in that game, Miles Bridges, former Michigan State hoop great, he got some action last night. And I tell you what, Miles Bridges is really doing a great job of working his way into a consistent lineup for the Charlotte Hornets. And when it comes to his stat line last night, we saw Bridges play 26 minutes. He put up 9 points. He also had 2 blocks, 2 steals, 1 assist, and he was 3 of 9 from the floor. So Miles Bridges was actually in the starting lineup. And, you know, listening to how the Hornets are talking about Miles Bridges, he is going to be a big factor and continue to do so for the Charlotte Hornets. Awesome, awesome stuff.
How about Christian Wood? He got 12 points and 9 rebounds. And Tim Frazier, the guard, he got 15 points and 12 assists. So,
yeah,
I mean,
Wood is a player I'm really excited to see just how good he plays this year, because I've been hearing a lot of hype when it comes to Christian Wood. Again, it's all preseason, so I don't put too much stock into this stuff.
Exactly.
Guys are playing against, you know, mostly bench players. You don't want to risk your starters in the preseason, but still, Christian Wood does look good. And he's a Christian Wood does.
Has a ring to it.
Yeah, I just had to stop myself there. Fun. But yeah, he's 6'10, 214. Big guy who can score. He's an athletic guy as well. So I'm excited to see him play. Also, the Detroit Red Wings started off the season looking like a new look team, but the last 2 games against the Toronto Maple Leafs and Vancouver Canucks put to bed that optimistic feeling. They continue their Canadian tour as they travel to Calgary to take on the Flames, who have a similar record so far this season. Game time tonight is at 9 p.m. on Fox Sports Detroit. Also, after going unsigned through the first couple of months in 2019, Brock Osweiler has retired from the NFL. Osweiler discussed his decision with Mike Kliss of 9 News on Wednesday, saying, quote, "I'm extremely grateful for the time I did receive playing in the National Football League, the experiences I did have, people I did meet, relationships I did make. I'm not going to dwell on the things that didn't happen in my career. Being a kid from Montana, playing for the Denver Broncos, winning a Super Bowl, having the opportunity to sign a second contract. When you look back on it, I couldn't be more appreciative. It was great." So Brock Osweiler retiring from the NFL. All right, Flint's favorite daughter, Clarissa Shields, boxing legend. Yeah, I'm already saying legend. Boxing legend Clarissa Shields is among the finalists. Well, she actually won this award for the second time in the last 4 years. She has been named, this is official, she has been named as the Sportswoman of the Year. And she was competing against some pretty big names, including Simone Biles. Yeah, I was very shocked that Shields won this, considering that Simone Biles is incredibly popular. Not saying that Clarissa Shields isn't, but Simone Biles is, like, known all over the world when it comes to Olympic gymnastics. Aja Wilson was also, you know, in the running for this. Paralympic triathlon competitor Alyssa Seeley of the United States, skier Michaela Schriffen of the United States as well, racer Jamie Chadwick of the United Kingdom, mountain biker Kate Courtney of the USA, and climber Janja Garnbret of the USA, also in the running for that award. So awesome, awesome stuff, LaCarisha Shields and Megan Rapinoe. I always mess up Megan's last name. Megan Rapinoe also gets that award as well. So Shields, 9-0, 2 KOs. Was once scheduled to fight Croatia's Ivana Habuzin on October 5th. But we all know what happened there. Ivana's trainer was sucker punched, calling off the fight. She is continuing to stay in shape, and there will be another date on the books for those two to go at it, and we will keep you updated on that as it proceeds. And I also want to note that Clarissa Shields' brother, it looks as though he was the one that sucker punched Ivana Habuzin's trainer in this whole thing, because her brother has been charged for that violent attack and is now facing a possible 10 years behind bars for the crime. So, again, James Bashir was struck in the face, and he was seriously injured, was taken to the hospital. He had brain bleeding as well. And Genesee County prosecutors now say that they've caught the man responsible for the punch, and they do say that it is Shields' 28-year-old brother, Artis Mack. Now, according to prosecutors, Mack was seen by cops fleeing the scene after the punch took place, and after they followed him into a nearby neighborhood, they arrested him. On Wednesday, they announced that they hit the guy with one charge of assault with intent to do great bodily harm, and say if convicted, Mack could spend up to 10 years in prison. Crazy, right? Crazy, crazy stuff. And apparently, this whole thing popped off because Bashir got into a verbal altercation with the sister of Clarissa Shields. So brother didn't like it and decided to take matters into his own hands. So and also a sad day, sad news coming out of the world of boxing as junior middleweight Patrick Day, who suffered a 10th round knockout loss on Saturday night, he has sadly died from brain injuries yesterday at Northwestern Memorial Hospital out in Chicago. Lou DiBella made that announcement yesterday. He was just 27 years old. Day was knocked down by right hands in the fourth and eighth rounds by unbeaten Charles Conwell, who was a 2016 U.S. Olympian, during the scheduled 10-round fight. And although Conwell was clearly winning the fight, Day was competitive in many of the rounds. However, in the 10th, Conwell landed two rights and left hook that knocked out Day. When Day went down, the back of his head slammed onto the canvas, and referee Celestino Ruiz immediately stopped the bout without a count at 1 minute and 46 seconds. Day was immediately surrounded by medical personnel and within minutes was taken to the hospital, and he never regained consciousness. At one point, he even had a seizure and then lapsed into a coma before undergoing emergency brain surgery. So members of Day's family flew to Chicago on Sunday morning to join manager and trainer Joe Higgins and Alex Dombroff, who works for DiBella in keeping vigil. But the situation was dire, and doctors gave Day little chance for survival. So at only 27 years old, Patrick Day gone way too soon. All right, to less important matters, as expected, Game 4 of the 2019 ALCS between the Houston Astros and New York Yankees. That game was postponed due to rain. Major League Baseball made that announcement. That series will continue today. Game 4 and 5 will be played tomorrow at 7. Well, today, excuse me, starting today at 7:08 p.m. So, tonight, Broncos, Chiefs, that's your Thursday night football slate. Let's keep it moving.
Get it out. Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable. Nationally, this happens. Mark D'Antonio said the only important thing is to win. We haven't been winning pretty, but we keep finding a way to win.
The good days, right? Man, I remember that moment so vividly. I'm going to be telling this story until I'm old and gray and my kids have kids and hopefully their kids have kids and I'm still alive. Let's hope. Let's live till 200, Al. Let's do it. But, you know, what a moment. You know, what a moment. We all know where we were. We remember where we were, what we were doing, what was going through our minds when Jalen Watts Jackson picked up the fumbled snap by the University of Michigan with 10 seconds left, taking it to the house and stunning everybody in Ann Arbor. Everybody watching. We all thought the game was over. I'll tell you where I was. I was on the field in the end zone where Jalen Watts Jackson crossed the goal line to win that game. And I was on the field alongside Isaac Constance, my fantastic engineer for 3 years, He was to my right, and he was filming, you know, the play, and I'm sitting there next to him. Like, I even remember what I had on. I had on my brown dress boots, gray dress pants. I had on my leather jacket with the hoodie attached to it. And I was trying to memorize my on-camera stand-up on my cell phone that alluded to a Michigan State loss. And I'm sitting there saying, Jim Harbaugh is the new big dog in town. Something like that. Something corny like that. And you know, I'm trying to memorize this, and then the play happens. And I'm sitting there watching it. And also to my left, you know, I think it was Kevin Gale, formerly of WLNS TV6. He was sitting there. He was filming it as well. We were all just sitting there. And, you know, the fumble happens. And I remember saying, oh, I said that. And Isaac shooting it, mind you. He's shooting this historic footage for us here at WKAR-TV. And when the ball went into the hands of Jalen Wash Jackson, I remember I kind of lost it. I said, oh! I remember screaming, oh! After I said, oh! So I said, oh, twice, I guess. And it just shows you how how I'm always in work mode. That I knew this could be something special. I grabbed Isaac's shoulders, like trying to get him to pass the camera to me because I wasn't confident that he was going to get the shot. But something told me it's too late for that. The play is already happening. So I grabbed his shoulders and didn't realize he's shooting it. I don't want it to be shaky. So I took my hands off his shoulders. And Isaac films Jalen Wash Jackson all the way to the end zone. And then once that happens, I grab the camera from Isaac and we both sprint to the huddle where Jalen Wash Jackson is. You can kind of see it. If you look at the ESPN broadcast, you will see me and Isaac. When they give that aerial view, we are there on the field shooting it. And I'm trying to get a good angle. And we got, I mean, this is still to this day on our YouTube page at WKAR. This is still the most viewed video in the history of our YouTube page. The views are probably still going up right now, and I'm going to post it. I'm probably going to repost it when I get off the air here. I forgot to do it this morning, and I had to meticulously go through and make sure that there was a lot of profanity, guys screaming like, you know, yeah, blah, blah, you know, there's a lot of profanity, especially when Jalen Wash Jackson at the bottom of the pile is screaming to people, get the bleep off me, get off me. The players are confused, like, dude, you just won the game for us. Get up, Jalen. We need to hoist you around Michigan Stadium. And Jalen doesn't want any parts of that. He's like, get off me, man. Get off me. And we're like, why is he screaming, get off me? And then it hits us. I remember seeing Jalen's face, and he was just writhing in pain. His eyes were, like, tearing up. And I'm like, okay, that's not happy tears. Those are I'm hurt tears. And then you see that the trainers come out and he's talking about my hip, man, my hip. And they have to bring out the stretcher and they wheel him out. They wheel him out. And then later on we found out that Jalen had broken his hip. But, you know, as we're getting that footage, all of a sudden, you know, we see the Paul Bunyan Trophy come out. And the Michigan State players run over to the other side of the field where Michigan State fans are going insane in the membrane. So we're shooting that. And we're shooting players just kind of saying, oh, my gosh, can you believe this happened? I remember the Dow brothers. We have them on camera. Well, again, we're going to post this video later on to our Facebook page for you to kind of reminisce and think about the good times. But the Dow brothers, Andrew and David, they were sitting there saying, and that's why we coined it. Many people coin it the miracle at the big house. Isaac and I, we coin it rope-a-dope at the big house because Andrew looks at David and says, rope-a-dope, baby, rope-a-dope. Take their life at the end. Quote, take their life at the end is what I think it was Andrew or, yeah, it was Andrew. I don't think it was David. I think it was either, I want to go with Andrew who said that. And we're like, yo, rope-a-dope at the big house. I like that. So whenever I see Isaac and we reminisce to this moment, we say, hey, remember rope-a-dope at the big house? But just amazing stuff. And I tell you this, I've been to Michigan Stadium to cover the Michigan and Michigan State game now three times. I have never heard the Big House that eerily quiet out of those three trips. Again, it's only three trips, but the Big House is known to be loud. It was silent. With the exception of Michigan State fans yelling and screaming, for the most part, you got a lot of Wolverine fans there. It was eerily silent. And Isaac and I just kind of took it in for a moment. And Isaac realized how big the moment was. He started picking up souvenirs. I kid you not. Isaac started picking up pom-poms. He picked up, and this was disgusting. I said, Isaac, what the heck are you doing, dude? Don't shake my hand after this. But he picked up somebody's mouth guard, somebody's mouthpiece that was laying on the grass. I should have had Isaac call in today to let us know whether or not he still has that disgusting mouth guard. Maybe it's worth some money today. I have no idea. But it was amazing. It was amazing being there. The ride back was, you know, we were just sitting there saying, I can't believe we just witnessed that. We witnessed history. That's where I was during that moment. And I thank the good man above to allow me to experience moments like that in my career. But it was crazy. Alec, you weren't at Michigan State yet.
Yes, I was.
You were?
What, I was a freshman?
Yeah. Oh, you're a little baby. Okay.
Yeah, because now I'm a master's student, so it's my fifth year technically. But
right. Where were you, man?
So it's crazy, and it gives me goosebumps every time I recount this story. So I was on the third floor of East Holmes, the residence hall, and there was about eight or nine of my friends in my dorm with me, and one of them was a Michigan fan, and he was talking all that trash to all of us who were watching the game. He's like, yep, we got this for sure in the bag. He was flapping his gums at us, you know. And that play unfolds, and we all just immediately shoot up from our seats, and we're like, oh my God, is this happening? And we're like freaking out. We're like, no way. As like he's going down the yard lines, and we just, it got louder and louder. We're like, oh my God, no way. And it got to the point, as soon as he crossed the end zone and we saw the referee give the sign for a touchdown, we all just lost our collective minds. And I'll never forget this. The one friend who was talking all that trash, he stood there, and mind you, he's from Wayne State. He was just sitting there just with his, just quiet, hands on his head, you know, hands on his temples, just wondering what happened. And the rest of us were jumping up and down, eight, nine of us. And we go outside of our dorm room, and it's something like you will never see ever. I get out into the hallway, and every single door in that hallway opens up in unison at the same time. And everyone's running out. Everyone runs out of their dorm rooms, and we all just meet in the middle of the hallway together, and we're jumping up and down, just in sheer disbelief and euphoria. I'm getting goosebumps right now just saying this.
And what residence hall is this?
East Holmes. And gotcha. We're all jumping down, going crazy, just screaming. It sounded like a scene from like a baseball team finding out they're going to the World Series, you know, like they won the game and they're and just absolutely unbelievable.
And I'm sure you went out that night.
Oh, of course. And so
was it, because I remember we were trying to figure out when Isaac and I was driving back from Ann Arbor to East Lansing, we were trying to figure out whether or not there was going to be some rioting and maybe couches on fire. Did that happen that night?
So we all joined at the bottom of East Holmes, like all the floors together. We all just joined. It just turned from 8 to 9 people to about 20 to 30 people to about 100 people outside of East Holmes. And we all just sprinted to Cedar Village because, you know, if you know, you know. Yeah. If you know, you know.
Yeah, that's the go crazy spot here at Michigan State University, if you don't know. So, yeah, so you guys went to Cedar Village, and what happened?
And surprisingly, there weren't any couch fires, but there were like 2 to 3 dumpster fires.
Okay.
And there were dumpster fires and just people just jumping up and down. Music was playing. Like, it's something that you really had to be there to believe what had happened.
Yeah. And I tell you what, you know, that moment is, I think eventually they'll probably build a statue. That moment deserves a statue outside of Spartan Stadium somewhere, because it was just one of the greatest moments in the Mark D'Antonio era. Just amazing stuff. And, you know, you know, we're sitting here reminiscing this week on it, you know, on this Thursday, and it's so
it's a bit weird because you're looking at where this program is right now and you're saying to yourself, how did we get here? So, wow, thank you for sharing that, Alec. Because, yeah, we were wondering, you know, we were driving back like, man, are they going crazy? So it wasn't too insane. It wasn't like, you know, because, you know, when I was a freshman, when Michigan State went to the Final Four, well, actually the national championship game, 09, and they played North Carolina, that was insane. Tear gas and couches were on fire and mosh pits and whatnot. But, yeah, so I'm glad it didn't get too out of hand, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was honestly nothing like the when MSU lost to Texas Tech, what ensued after that.
Yeah,
were you there for that?
No, I was, again, with Jack and I, we were out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We were out there in Minnesota.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah. Basically, that was just pure chaos because people took out the Woodmere and Grand River sign, you know, like,
right,
where that is.
Well, you got a lot of footage from this, Alan.
I have.
Talk about it on the air. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just they were picking up the signs, throwing it on the ground. People were doing push-ups in the middle of Grand River.
Just insane.
People, yeah, there was couch fires. There was anything you could think of.
I tell you what, Jalen Wash Jackson, you know, that's one of those moments that Jalen Wash Jackson will never have to pay for anything as long as he's in East Lansing. I tell you that. He can go to any local spot, any food spot, any local pub. You say, I'm Jalen Wash Jackson, and yeah, that brother's not paying for anything. Kind of like Kenny Goins, you know, hitting that shot over Duke. You know, some players performing in big-time moments that will live in Spartan lore, they will forever be beloved. And, you know, if they walk in any establishment here in East Lansing, they will not have to pay for anything. So what I want to do right now, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I do want to talk about the fifth transfer. Yeah, we're up to number 5, folks. The fifth transfer for Michigan State football. My, oh, my, how times have changed. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, at this point, you're asking to yourself right now, like, who will be next? I mean, this is number 5. Number 5, folks. Today, Michigan State wide receiver Cam Chambers became the team's 5th player this season to enter the transfer portal. His decision was first reported by the Detroit Free Press. The junior, he caught 19 passes for 264 yards in 11 games last season, but struggled to get on the field this season. He saw limited snaps in just 2 games. I guess I can calm your nerves a little bit here by saying this. The transfers that we have seen for Michigan State this season have been players who are not getting a lot of playing time. All right? I mean, Brandon Boyer Randall, he was the first. He wasn't getting a lot of PT. I understand that. And then that was followed up by running back Connor Hayward. Elijah Collins is the feature back, so totally understand that. Connor Hayward was not getting a lot of PT. A guy who I thought should have gotten more playing time was Ladarius Jefferson. He was the next guy to say, I'm out of here, and chucked up the deuces to East Lansing. He didn't get a lot of playing time. He went into the portal on October 8th after the Ohio State game. And also wide receiver Weston Bridges, he went into the transfer portal on Monday. These are all players, Boyer Randall, Hayward, Jefferson, Bridges, and now Chambers. These are all players who are not starters, who weren't getting a lot of action, and I understand that. Because, and you know, I've heard some people out there, and I totally, vehemently disagree with people out there who say, oh, well, look at you, you're quitting on your team, you're quitting on your teammates.
How can you do this to Michigan State? What happened to sticking through it and manning up and waiting for your opportunity? Patience is out the window. Stop it. That is a take that I hate, and frankly, it's lazy. These are young men who, at the end of the day, are trying to put themselves in the best position to make it to the NFL, where they can start making some cheese, start getting paid to play the game. Who, and don't get me started on a whole rant about how corrupt the NCAA is and how they don't care for the player. You guys already know that. And if you don't, you're playing yourself. Okay? The NCAA making all of this money off of these players. They don't see a dime of it. They have schedules that rival that of 2 9-to-5s on a given day. They don't see any moolah from it. So you know what? The players deserve a little bit of power here. And if they feel like, you know what, I can't make it here. I'm not getting any playing time here. I'm frustrated. And they feel like they will be better suited at another program, then let that player test the waters there. Go into the transfer portal. You may fail at the next school or you may succeed, but at least giving them some power to make that decision, let them make it. Quitting on your team, I don't – stop all that, man. At the end of the day, man, it's – I hate to say it, but in the landscape with the way the NCAA is set up today, you got to look out for yourself. Look out for yourself and team second. I hate to say that, but with the way the NCAA is set up today, you got to look out for self first. Call me selfish, but that's how I view things at this point. Until you start compensating these athletes, I'm always going to be in the corner of the athlete. And I didn't used to be that way until, again, I always tell that story of how I had two interns who were members of the MSU football team, and I looked at their schedules and said, what? When do you have time to just be you? I mean, sheesh. So more power to these players. Again, they may fail. Boyer Randall, Hayward, Jefferson, Bridges, Chambers, they may go to that next school and have the same problem. They may not be good enough to cut the mustard there. But at least having the opportunity to test the waters and find out, I'm all for it. Now, MSU fans, again, the reason why you shouldn't totally worry about this is because these are guys who aren't getting a lot of playing time. If you start to see, this is when you can start maybe hitting the panic button. If you start to see starting players start to say, yeah, I'm going into the portal. Not happy here. If you start to see starters who are getting the playing time, who are getting that experience and saying to themselves, yep, this ain't the place for me, then you should start to worry. Then we could maybe have the conversation that this is a cultural problem at the program and some serious things need to be done. But so far, out of these five, no knock against them, they are not starters. They are not little, you know, playmakers. They are not game changers because they aren't getting PT. Later on this week, if you see a headline that says, Cody White putting his name in the transfer portal, then you can panic. Daryl Stewart Jr. deciding to test his talents in the transfer portal. Joe Bocci, you know, you get where I'm going here. The starting players have not done that. Partly because, again, they're getting playing time. They got opportunities to put, you know, some great things on film for NFL scouts. So, yeah. So I'm going to hit the pause on the panic button right now. Because I do believe that there are other players across the nation who are not getting that PT themselves, who are also doing the same thing that we are seeing these Michigan State football players doing. Now, again, I've yet to see. I'm going to do some research later on this evening. I'm making a note of it right now. I want to look up and see how many transfers other programs have had. How many players other programs have had where they're like, all right, I'm going to the transfer portal to see where else I can go. So don't panic yet. Don't panic yet, Michigan State fans. I know some of you are already panicking. You guys got enough to panic about already, right? I mean, because the season is not going well. After this bye next week, Michigan State will play Penn State. I don't think Michigan State is going to beat Penn State next week. So, but I'm not too worried. Are you worried about this? About this, Alec? I'm not too worried about this. Again, I think this is happening at other programs.
Yeah, it's definitely happening nationwide, and it's just a matter of players who just don't want to become rusty because they're not playing. I mean, face the facts. I mean, any player who doesn't play for a year, they're obviously not going to be nearly as great, even if they're playing at a very, you know, highly sought after school. Like, they're still playing and getting experience. And to me, I see that as, you know, that's just a business move. I mean, it's all business.
It's a business move, right?
It really is.
Right.
Because they're trying to market themselves to make it into the big league, as you said. And we've had this conversation before where, yeah, that is their goal. I mean, obviously they want to win a championship for their college, and they want the notoriety of it, you know, doing stuff for their college. But at the end of the day, all they're going for, they want that contract.
And so many fans don't understand that, Alec. And, you know, most of the fans, I hate to say this, but most of the fans that don't understand that are the older season fans out there, the old school mentality fans who say, oh, it's all about the team. I tell you this, and this is the reality. Players today, Alec, if given, and this is logic. I mean, this seems very obvious to me. If given the opportunity to win a championship or to go to the NFL, they could care less about a championship if given those two options. They could care less. At the end of the day, the number one priority for a lot of these young men are making it to the NFL, not winning conference championships, not going to the college football playoff, not winning a national championship. The number one goal for many of these young men are to go to the National Football League. That dream is bigger than some trophy case at a college. That's just how it is. That's the reality. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but that's the reality.
Yeah, and, you know, society constantly stressing about financial situations and stuff. They just want to be in the situation that'll help them out more financially because, I mean, that's just how it is in this day and age because, you know, with everything, you know, all the costs rising for everything, you know, it just stresses the even more importance to be stable financially. And
I'm with you.
And that's all that they're trying to do because they're not getting paid right now. And, you know, they got to make ends meet somehow. They got to get food. You know, it's college. They're hungry kids. You know, they got to get food on the table. So, you know,
a lot of people just don't understand it. Alex comments and says on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKERnews, you still play to win the game, Al. Yeah, well, duh.
Of course.
Tell me something I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's why you're going out there to compete and win. Yeah, but I'm talking about the ultimate goal. The pie in the sky goal for these young men are to go to the National Football League or go somewhere, whether it be the Canadian Football League, whether it be the XFL, anywhere to get paid to do what they do. Of course, every time they lace them up and put on that helmet and pads, you're trying to go out there and you're trying to win. Yeah. But honestly, that goal is secondary toward going to the NFL. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow in today's current sports with a little bit of Throwback Thursday for you. All right, folks, it is Thursday, and each and every Thursday edition of Current Sports, we love to hop into our Current Sports time machine to take a look at exactly what occurred on this particular Thursday in sports history. Got a few moments here. Do we have the intro music or no? Oh, we do? Oh, look at Alec. Right on the money today. All right, time for Throwback Thursday.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman, back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots, yes. Goal!
All right, let's start here on this day back in 1860. Wow, that is a long, long time ago. And, golf. It just goes to show just how old the game of golf is. On his day back in 1860, Willie Park won the first professional golf tournament to be held in Scotland. On this day back in 1962, the New York Yankees won their 20th World Series when they beat the San Francisco Giants. On this day back in 1943, some positive news for your Detroit Lions, as the Detroit Lions set a rushing record when they achieved a negative 53 yards against the Chicago Cardinals. So that's not positive news. I'm sorry. I read that wrong earlier when I was putting this down in my notes. Yeah, I thought it was going to be. That's so funny. But I said, oh, they have a record here. I kind of grazed over it without really reading it. The Lions setting a rushing record when they achieved negative 53 yards against the Cardinals. I'm sorry, Lions fans. I really thought that was spot. When I put it in my notes, no, not to be, people always get on me for poking fun at the Lions. I really thought this was a positive throwback.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. Okay. On this day back in 1968, Bob Beamon Long jumped 29 feet, 2.5 inches at the Olympic Games in Mexico. On this day back in, Alex is saying, sure you did, Al. On this day back in 1978, the New York Islanders began a streak of 23 undefeated games at home. That's amazing. And also, on this day back in 2000, Patrick Roy of the Colorado Avalanche, he achieved his 448th victory as a goalie in the National Hockey League. Roy, he passed Terry Sawchuk to become the record holder for career victories. And, of course, on this day 4 years ago, oh, he has trouble with the snap. Michigan State beat Michigan in one of the most incredible finishes in college football
Unbelievable.
History.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, gotta love it. All right, folks, 20 seconds left. I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your Thursday. We'll see you on the Friday edition of Current Sports. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.